Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us as we continue in our series today, The Grace Guide to Marriage. It's been an insightful series, a fun series, and over these past weeks, we have really gotten some great, great insight. And I hope you're taking to heart what you're hearing through these series, this particular series. Bob, what's the subtitle for today's?
Well, you can't talk about marriage without talking about the sexual aspect of it. So we're going to tackle that subject today.
How is it going to be rated?
Well, it will be rated PG.
Okay.
But if you go into the Bible is pretty graphic. There are several places in the book of Proverbs, for example, the Song of Solomon, that describe the sexual relationship in some detail.
Yeah.
And as Tim Keller wrote in his book, The Meaning of Marriage, the Bible is very uncomfortable book for the prudish. And yes. That is true. But we want to talk about sex and marriage today and really take a biblical look at it. And I think it's going to be a fantastic program because we have so many perverted views about sex, yeah. Especially in Christian circles, in religious circles. I mean, many people grew up thinking that sex was dirty and demeaning and degrading and all of those sort of things, and it was just a necessary evil for procreation and the propagation of the race and those sort of things. But that's not what the Bible says, and that's not how the Bible puts it. So today we're going to take a look at what the Bible says about sex and marriage, and it starts right at the beginning, Genesis 2, 24 and 25. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So this is right back at creation. So God made man, male and female. And in this particular passage, we see God giving male and female, man and woman, to one another, to be one in every aspect of life, with the sexual aspect of it being one of those moments that kind of seals the deal, the oneness of the two. And we read that right here. The two shall become one. One flesh. And he really is talking about the sexual aspect of marriage, but he's talking about so much more as well. Mm-hmm. And that's what we hope to unfold in this particular program today. So we start with some obvious things about this passage. And the first thing is this, that God invented sex. It came from his mind.
Yes.
It wasn't something that we thought up after the fall, which many would suggest that's how it came into being. But that's not the truth. Sex was in the mind of God as far as how he was going to create male and female and how he was going to put them together in a very special way so that they could function as one.
Yeah.
They could become one. And
yeah, he even told them to be fruitful and multiply.
That's exactly right.
You have to have sex to have children.
Right.
And he gave them to each other for that purpose.
Yeah. So God invented it, so it must be good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that God brought into being, everything that he spoke into existence, after he looked at it, he said, this is good. Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of those things as well. How he created man and woman, how he put the two together. That was a good thing. Why? Because it came from the very mind of God. Now, the second obvious truth that we see in this particular passage is that sex is to happen within the bonds of marriage.
Yeah.
That God didn't design sex to be casual like it is today, that it's just something that you meet up with somebody and engage in just for fun and those sort of things. Sex was to be done within the bonds of marriage. And I think that is so vitally important for us to understand,
mm-hmm.
for us to understand as believers, for us to understand just as individuals, that sex is to happen within the bonds of marriage. Now, that's certainly not the case today, is it?
Oh, not at all.
Sex has become a very casual thing. We're in a sexually charged culture. We're in the sexual revolution. Probably not as bad as it was back in the Roman days.
We're trying to get there.
We're moving rapidly. Down that path.
The fact that it is demanded from both sexes, you know, male and female, is demanded, and that's just such a tragedy.
Well, and we see it on television. We see it in movies. I mean, some of these sitcoms that are happening in the 90s, probably started in the 80s and then the 90s, and, you know, they really pushed the envelope, mm-hmm. and sex was just out there, and everybody was engaging in sex. And if you didn't engage in sex, you were thought of as a prude or just subhuman or something. It's like, how can you not engage in sex? We're sexual creatures. Well, we're changing the morality. We are eroding what God has put into place. And what God put into place was sex between male and female within the bonds of marriage. Now, that brings up a question, and this was asked on our program yesterday by one of our YouTube viewers, and we didn't have a chance to answer it, but I thought it a perfect question to address in today's broadcast. And the question is, what about people living together before marriage?
Right.
Certainly people are saying, hey, we want to test drive this relationship and see if we're compatible, see if we're going to get along, see if this can work. So let's move in together. Let's live together. And if it's good, then maybe we'll get married. If it's not good, we'll just split up and go our separate ways. Now, that's happening all the time. Well, is that a good thing? Is that something that the Bible condones? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Sex is to be carried out within the bonds of marriage. Living together, cohabitation, is not something that God is going to move people to do. So if it's something that you are doing, God didn't lead you to do it. There was some worldly philosophy that pushed you that, maybe your own sinful desires, but it's not of God. God is not pushing you to live together to test drive the relationship to see if it's going to work or not. And the reason why is because living together lacks the necessary underpinnings of commitment, security, and freedom for the relationship to really flourish. Mm-hmm. Without those underpinnings, without the commitment that marriage brings, without the security that marriage brings to both male and female, and without the freedom to truly express yourself within that framework, then sex is going to become nothing more than an act. And so what do you tell somebody who is living together? Well, we had a wonderful story that happened a number of years ago. A guy that started listening to the program ended up receiving Christ, and he was a born again believer. I mean, he went from life to death. Well, at the time,
the other way,
from death to life. That's right. I was just seeing if you were listening, seeing if our listeners were listening.
He was.
He went from death to life in such a dramatic way. It was a wonderful story to witness and to see unfold. But at the time, he was living with his companion, and they had come out of a very secular, philosophy, and really the people that they ran around with, this was just what they did. Well, when he came to Christ, something gripped his heart and said, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. So he sat down with his girlfriend at the time and said, I'm going to move out. Well, this was unsettling for her, but she asked why, what's going on, and he was able to tell his story. Well, he moved out, and this got her interested, and several months later, guess what? She came to Christ, and when she did, they had a whole new foundation on which to build their relationship, which they did, and some months later, they got married and just had this beautiful relationship, one with another, in this thing called marriage. It was just a priceless priceless story. So if there are people out there listening and you are living with somebody, or you know somebody that's living with somebody, what are you going to tell them? What is the answer? Well, there's two possibilities. Mm-hmm. Get married. Go ahead and get married. If you feel like this is the person that you can live with, marry them. What would keep you from doing that?
Yeah.
And we had a church, Bob, the church that you go to, not too long ago, Pete Briscoe, the pastor, did a sermon on cohabitation.
Yeah, awkward.
Awkward. It was an awkward sermon. But he, at the end of it, he said, if there are anybody here who are living together and would like to get married, we're going to open up the chapel next week, or they set a certain time. Mm-hmm. And nine couples came forward and got married. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It wasn't preset either.
No, no, not at all. So if you like somebody enough to live with them, you ought to like them enough to marry them. And go ahead and get married.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't want to get married, then move on. Why? Because you're putting each other in a very precarious situation. The guy is putting the girl in a terrible, terrible position. I mean, she is insecure. She has given herself sexually to try to earn some of that security, but it's not there.
Yeah.
And so that's going to do damage to her emotionally. It's going to do damage to the guy emotionally. It's going to make it more difficult in future relationships. So if you're living together, realize that you're doing some damage. Why does God call things sin? Because it brings harm into the lives of other people. And sex outside of marriage does damage emotionally, soulishly. People can be scarred and make it very difficult to really move on into another relationship.
Yeah, it's ironic that, you know, one of the reasons that people give for living together is the test drive. Sex actually blocks the communication that you need to have to determine if you should get married. It's
right.
An 800-pound gorilla that begins to control everything. Instead of being the result of getting married, it becomes the block to getting married, and the pain only grows.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it's the Grace Guide to Marriage on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us. Our purpose here at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out by every means available, and I think this series is doing a great job in providing insight into this issue of marriage. And, friends, we want you to share the blessing of being a part of that. Many of you support this ministry very faithfully every month with your gifts, and we're so thankful for you. Now, your gifts, of course, do make a difference, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But right now, it's a great session. So let's get back to our study, The Grace Guide to Marriage, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper.
Well, thanks, Bob. The other question that is often asked, what about premarital sex? And certainly the gospel is not in lockstep with the culture. The culture says premarital sex is good. It's okay. Everybody should be involved in it. The Bible doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, it says the very opposite. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Yeah. So sex really is impacts the heart. And if it's not carried out within the bonds of marriage, then it's being carried out in a sinful way, and that's going to affect the heart in a negative connotation. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. So flee from sexual immorality. Premarital sex is not a good thing for you or the people that you're engaging in. As a matter of fact, you're saying something about that person that God doesn't say. You are just treating that person as an object of your own sexual desire. It becomes a self-centered act instead of a selfless act.
Yes.
And that's the way culture has set it up. That's the way our Western society is viewing sex today. But that's not how God views it. As far as God is concerned, it is holy, it is sacred, it is a self-giving act that is unparalleled in human experience if carried out within the bonds of marriage. And we want to sell that short by making it something else. So sexual immorality, premarital sex is not something that God is going to lead you to do as well. If you're engaging in that, it's not God leading you to do that. That's your own fleshly desires. Now, I was in a conversation a number of years ago with a gentleman. I just met him, and we were talking about our lives and experience and history and family and all these sort of things. And he certainly was a believer, and he had kids about the same age as mine. And so he said, here's one of the things that I've been telling my kids. And I thought, wow, what a powerful, powerful statement. And he said this, I've asked all my kids, when you get married, would you ever consider cheating on your spouse? And every one of them said, absolutely not. And he said, okay, so what do you think premarital sex is if it's not cheating on your spouse? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is. Premarital sex is cheating on your spouse. You want to get married. There's somebody out there that you want to get married to, and yet you're giving yourself to somebody else right now. You are cheating on that future spouse.
Yes.
So recognize that. And that's why God says, I want you to wait. Why? Because there's somebody special, and this thing called sex that I brought into being when I created male and female and gave them to one another within the bonds of marriage, I want you to experience to its very height and best. And if you go it on your own, lean on your own understanding, follow the currents of the culture, it's not going to be what you hope it will be.
Yeah.
And I want it to be what I've intended it to be for you, which is going to absolutely blow your mind. So cheating, premarital sex is actually cheating on your spouse. Hebrews chapter 13 says this, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. And we actually talked about that last aspect of this verse yesterday, and Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians 6 and in Galatians chapter 5, and it says, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's exactly right. Only the saved will inherit the kingdom of God. Only those who have been declared righteous, have been washed, who've been sanctified, who've been justified in the name of the Lord will inherit the kingdom of God. So those who are lost, those who are unrighteous, one of the marks of that unrighteous lifestyle is adultery and sexual immorality. And he said, I don't want you to engage in that. Why? Because I've called you to a new way of living. You were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Well, one of the ways that we do that is by honoring marriage and by keeping the marriage bed undefiled.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that as far as God is concerned, sex is not dirty or demeaning. That's how religious people have put it out there, mm-hmm. but that is not the case. Sex is sacred. Sex is holy. Sex is a self-giving act. It's part of this wonderful privilege that we get to participate in of serving one another in love. We serve one another in love soulishly. We do it physically within the sexual act as well. Now, sin wants to reduce sex to an act of selfishness and personal satisfaction. That's the way of the world, but that's not the way it is as far as God is concerned. So the marriage bed, that sacred place, and we need to look at the marriage bed as a sacred and holy place. That place provides the security and freedom to experience human sexuality at its very best, at its God-given design. So we have to recognize that. So the marriage bed is a holy and sacred place. Now, the last thing that we want to talk about on today's broadcast is a passage out of 1 Corinthians 7, verses 4 through 5. Sometimes... when you get married, you're so excited, and, the first year of marriage, sex is just everything. And then as you continue in that marriage relationship, the importance of sex begins to wane. Mm-hmm. But that's wrong. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The importance of sex is to grow as the relationship grows. And we're going to find out exactly why in this particular passage. It says, "For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. So do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement, for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." So basically, Paul is saying you need to be having sex. It's not something that you can just forget about and think the marriage is going to be okay without it. Sexless marriage is not the way God has designed marriage to be. So give yourselves one to another. And I love how he puts this, and this is really what God wants us to know more than anything about marriage is the fact that we become one with another person, not just sexually, but soulishly in every aspect of life. And sex is really a mark, a sign of that oneness that we have one with another. And this passage is really getting to that point, the oneness that we have. The whole passage on marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, that is the underlying point that Paul is making, the oneness that you have as husband and wife. Not only the oneness that you have together, but your oneness with God. So the sexual act is the act that kind of rekindles the heart and renews the mind concerning this oneness that you have together. So it's a very powerful act, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, it, when you think of, you know, spirit, soul, and body, the sexual act is the ultimate form of communication that results from the renewed spirit being alive in Christ and the renewed mind being taught how to think carefully, properly, choose wisely, and experience the emotion that is the result. And then you can express that with your wife or with your husband. And it is such a beautiful, powerful thing. Any other form, any other, you know, if you try to go the other direction with it, oh, if we have sex, we'll be closer together spiritually. No, you won't. You have to be one spiritually before this can be the powerful stimulus to relationship that God intended it to
yes,
be.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So Tim Keller said this in his book, The Meaning of Marriage, sex is God's appointed way for two people to reciprocally say to one another, I belong completely, permanently, and exclusively to you. You must not use sex to say anything less.
Yeah.
Now, that again underscores the importance of what God established at the very beginning, one man, one woman within the bonds of marriage. That's how sex is to be carried out. Any other avenue that sex is carried out speaks something different than what God wants us to say with it. The fact that we are completely, permanently, and exclusively our spouses. So we hope this has been helpful to you. The Bible has lots to say about sex and marriage. When we understand it within the bonds of marriage, it is that expression of our oneness with one another and our oneness with God. And it's a powerful, powerful thing that God has given us.
Indeed. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody, for the Grace Guide to Marriage. I have it on good authority that next week might wrap up this particular session. We hope you'll be here for it. Please keep in mind in the meantime that we need your help to be able to produce series such as this and keep the New Covenant message on the air, whatever it entails. So we hope you'll join us today by donating through the Basic Gospel app. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Now in Canada, you can donate directly at basicgospel.net/Canada. Outside the U.S. and Canada, you can donate through PayPal. Any way is a great way to support this message of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we truly appreciate your support of this New Covenant message. Remember, if you have a question, call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. But now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.